everyone. Welcome to episode 254, Taming the Tantrums. Welcome to the Harmony in the Home podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Hutchison. I'm a counselor, a life coach, and most importantly, an imperfect mom doing this work right along with you. And my goal on our podcast is to go from chaos to calm, feel less frazzled, and have more fun within your four walls to have more harmony in your home. So we talk a lot about emotional regulation on this podcast. We talk a lot about managing our big feelings so we can help our kids manage their big feelings. I'm going to let you listen to something today that is going to blow your mind when you reframe the way you think about tantrums. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you about pocket coaching, which I've been mentioning the last couple of weeks. And it's so fun to hear all the ins and outs of what's going on in your life. So you can hear all the ins and outs that are going on in my life to story share and also problem solve. So pocket coaching is if you're busy, you're on the go, and you want that little bit of support, you want that little bit of accountability or a lot of bit of accountability to stay conscious. It's over Voxer, which is like voicemail meets walkie-talkie, to share stories and share troubles and share pain points so then I can help you navigate through those to have more harmony in your home. So go to coachingkelly.com, go to the Work With Me tab, sign up there, or just reply to the email and I'll send you the link. So without further ado, let's talk about taming the tantrums. So whenever I talk about taming the tantrums or getting kids to listen or raising confident, happy, kind children, those episodes get the most listens to because they're scrolling. And they're like, if I could just control my kid, everything would be better. If they would just get up when they're supposed to, if they would just do their homework like they're supposed to, if they would turn in the assignments and put their name on the paper, and listen to me when I tell them to put on their shoes or eat their vegetables, I wouldn't have to yell. So essentially what we're doing is we're blaming a toddler or a teen for our behavior. And so when it comes to tantruming, I know tantrums are very, very tricky and they're very, very tough. How do I know? Because I deal with them daily in our house. Now that they're older, it's not so much daily. But when they were younger, it wasn't daily. It was hourly. It was minute by minute. I never thought the crying and the screaming and the anger was going to stop. So I did what I thought I was supposed to do. I watched Super Nanny and I put them in timeout and I put them in timeout and put them in timeout. And guess what? Not much changed. And I realized over time, once I woke up to my ego, that so much of my reaction to their reaction was coming from a place of lack, of coming from a place of not being good enough. Because I was so afraid of messing this up that I was parenting from that fear-based place. And ironically, that's where I was messing up. So I want to reframe your thinking a little bit about tantruming. I want you to listen to something that I heard. And you might have listened to it already. It's so good. It encapsulates everything we talk about on this podcast, especially when we're talking about tantruming.
I really stand by tantruming is healthy. It worries me more kids who never have tantrums than kids who have big tantrums.
What a tantrum really is.
A kid basically saying, I want something, I'm not getting it, and I still really know that I want it. It's just like a ball of desire. And I think we know as adults, wanting something and not having it is one of the hardest human experiences. And yet, I think what most adult women really struggle with is we've completely distanced ourselves from desire, and we don't even know what we want anymore. Because most of us, when we were growing up, wanting something is very inconvenient for a parent, and the more you punish a kid and send them away, what they learn isn't tantrums are wrong. They really learn when I want things, it threatens my relationships. And so many women learned that early on and they became good girls. And the answer isn't for people to stop wanting things. It's to actually learn how to want and not have. And yes, that comes deeply down to boundaries.
I mean, now she talks about women and being the good girls. I think this also goes, well, I know it goes for the dads too. I think sometimes in parenting, the dads get overlooked and they just say, oh, well, he's just angry. He's just an angry dude. But a lot of times the dads aren't taught the skills growing up, nor are the mothers. So it's very hard to want something and not have it. And so when we look at tantrums from that point of view as a big ball of desire and a way to manage and teach them how to manage that versus, no, you're not getting that. Go to your room. Leave me alone. I always use the example of, it's like me telling Grady, go to your room and read that chemistry book until it makes sense. And he comes out an hour later, 30 minutes later, and the chemistry still doesn't make sense because he's never been taught the skill and he's not developmentally ready for chemistry. Now, I use that example a lot, and I've used it for the last 10 years. And I think next year, the year after, he's going to be starting to take chemistry. So I have to think of something different. However, the analogy is so powerful. When you think about something that's out of your child's reach or out of their knowledge base, it starts to help you understand that we're not teaching them how to not cry, not yell, not get upset. We're teaching them how to manage their emotions and that emotions are part of the human experience. And just like we have a hard time managing the emotions, they will too. And so a lot of times we don't understand why they're so upset about the banana being peeled wrong, not being picked first for kickball, the sippy cup color being the wrong color. I used to think, why are they getting this upset? The upsetness was not matching what they were upset about. And why was that? Because they had never been taught the skill of how to manage disappointment or anger or frustration or disappointment or that desire of something that they want that they can't have. And a lot of times we were never taught it, so it's hard to teach it when we don't know it ourselves. So then we see their anger or we see their sadness or we see their tears, and then we react with anger, sadness, or tears, and then it's gas on the fire. And we wonder why it's the same stuff, different day, and it's like we're on Groundhog's Day. That's because our kids are not being taught how to manage their emotions versus if we just think, oh, they don't like the red sippy cups, so I'm going to get all blue sippy cups and try to tiptoe around the tantrums versus teaching them what to do when they get the red sippy cup. And we look at it as a ball of desire and a skill that they're trying to learn. It takes the sting out of it and takes the oomph out of it that it's nothing to do with us. It's that they need more help in learning chemistry. We don't expect a baby to walk. We take time, we practice, we show them, we model it for them. We celebrate when they do take that first step. And guess how many times they fall? About 7 billion times before they're walking. And even when they're walking, they trip and fall. I trip and fall too sometimes. So when we look at that as teaching a baby how to walk or teaching them how to potty train, or we teach them a new skill, whether it's sports or academics, when we look at emotions that way, it makes so much more sense that we don't want to raise this perfect child who never has a human emotion, because what they learn to do is when they have a tricky emotion, they are supposed to go away. They're supposed to go to their room. Crying, anger is bad, is what they're taught. So if a child is feeling disappointment and they're sent to their room or they're sent to timeout, they learn disappointment is a bad thing to happen. So then when they're older or they're a teenager, they start shutting down and putting themselves in their own timeout, hiding in their room, hiding in their hoodies, hiding behind the headphones. And the reason why they're doing it is that because they've been taught, if I'm feeling disappointment that my girlfriend or boyfriend broke up with me, that is bad and I should not be around my parents. It's not a safe emotion to have around my parents. So I'm going to go away and put myself in a teenage timeout. Same thing goes when they're in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. They're going to put themselves in an adult timeout. An adult timeout looks like, it could be drinking, it could be overeating, it could be oversleeping, it could be overworking, it could be over anything, because they don't think that disappointment is part of the human experience. They think that something's gone wrong and I need to go away. So they put themselves in an adult timeout because they've been taught their whole life, disappointment, having a ball of desire, you should always get what you want. And when you don't, it's not normal to feel disappointed. And when you can reframe it that way, that's why so many of you love the term they're having a hard time versus giving me a hard time. It takes the ego out of it and it looks at emotions as a skill to learn versus something that we need to fix and something's gone wrong. And what happens over time is you learn that it doesn't go away, but it happens with less intensity, less frequency, and less duration. And then they see you as being on their side and something to turn towards when they're feeling disappointed versus to run away from. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Hey mamas, thanks for listening. If you had any ahas, clicks, or those lightning bolt moments while listening, you have to check out my free parenting bootcamp, where we take all of this to the next level and we try to create even more awakenings for ourselves so that we can connect more with our kids and never yell at them again. You can sign up at www.coachingkelly.com. And if you really want to fill up my love cup, send me an email of what your aha was, what your click was, what was that lightning bolt moment while you were listening. I want nothing more in life than for you to have harmony in your home and to learn how to be an imperfect mom like me, which allows your kids to be imperfect too, each and every day. Thanks for listening.